This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Up in the morning. Good morning. And we're back. We're back. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. The prodigal son has returned. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for being with us. It is Friday, April the 29th already. Wow, this weekend, we move into May, do we not? We'll be talking in a few minutes with Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation, an old buddy of ours. We're going to talk about the Democrats' so-called plan to lower gas prices. Ha! Are they going to lower gas prices? Well, anyway, we're going to talk with Joel about it. They claim they are. They've got a scheme. Is it really a plan, though? Is it really going to work? We're going to find out. In the meantime, Elon Musk. You know him. You've been hearing about him. He's bought Twitter, as you know. Here's the question. Does it mean that Twitter is going to return to being a free market conversation forum? That's number one. Number two, is Donald Trump, despite what he says, is Donald Trump going to come back on Twitter? Remember, he had that Twitter account? Every day there was something to talk about with Donald Trump and his Twitter account. Well, he said so far he's not going to. We'll find out. We're going to get some thought on it, though, as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll. He's the guy, the Barber Poll is mainstream America's most reliable poll. Andrew Ceresi, so stay tuned for him a little later in the show. And dust off Wilbur, because we are bringing back campus quackery this morning. We are going to visit Evanston and Skokie, Illinois. They are two big suburbs right next to each other, just north of Chicago. And we're going to visit their woke school district. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 wealthiest presidents by today's standards. By today's standards. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I've said it so many times, you're getting tired of hearing me say it, but it is the best place I've ever found for a haircut, a men's haircut, in Tampa Bay, and it's a men's place, okay? Not a hair salon. Not a hair salon. You go in there, you feel like it's a barber shop, and you get a great haircut at a great price and a great environment. It's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Please call for your appointment. 727-733-3773. Well, Ed, I know you missed me because there were tears of joy when I came in this morning. I didn't realize I had that much of an emotional effect on you, but maybe it's because we are following the Voice of Reason program, which was yesterday, and you had to listen to that. So maybe that's why I saw the tears welling up in your eyes.
Actually, today might have been just the pollen in the air and my allergies. Yesterday, they were tears.
They were tears, okay. Well, we make fun of them every once in a while, and deservedly so. I don't know why they're talking old-time stuff.
I don't want to
knock them. Yeah,
you mean Trump.
Well, you can't get older than the Bible stuff, and then Trump. Mm. When we got 5 million things going on right now, and they somehow don't find any time to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say on that, okay? Yeah. We got so much to talk about. I can't wait to talk with Joel Griffith, because somehow the Democrats, and especially Joe Biden. Did you see him recently? I mean, they gave him a word. What was the word? He couldn't even pronounce the word. You know, he reads everything off of a teleprompter. Mm. It was a three-syllable or four-syllable word, and he fell completely apart with it. Anyway, he's trying to explain the fact that we have a dip in the first quarter of this year with the U.S. economy. 1.4% it dropped.
I thought the dip was Kamala.
Well, we've got that, too. I mean, you can have more than one dip in the White House. But the U.S. economy has markedly cooled in the first 3 months of the year. As we know, a snarled supply chain, record high inflation, labor shortages, all kinds of things are going on. Gross domestic product, which is the broadest measure of how we're doing, shrank by 1.4% on an annualized basis in our first 3 months this year. This is according to the Commerce Department. Now, they thought it was going to be expanded by about 1+%.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of shocked that it happened. Despite that, the stock market actually yesterday was up, I think, about 600 points. So
right.
I don't know what to believe. I would think with everything that's going on that the stock market would tank, but it seems to be very resilient.
Things are going to start catching up to us. I mean, just, you know, I just really keep an eye out for things these days, like just being in the grocery store and seeing the prices that are jumping, you know, not, I'm not talking about a dime or, you know, 20 cents. You look at the price of chicken has gone from $1.99 to $2.99.
Oh, yeah.
That's not an increase. I mean, that's just flat out inflation there.
They have said that the two things that have increased higher than the inflation, which is bad enough, are gas prices and food prices.
Right.
And you can see it. You can just go to the grocery store, like you said. You're going to get shocked at what's going on right now. You're going to get shocked. By the way, with my driving, I must say, and I was up in Georgia, the price of gas, as opposed to here, was a little bit cheaper in Georgia. Now,
yeah, it always is.
Is it always
that way? Okay. Whenever I go to North Carolina, whatever, as soon as I get into Georgia, Valdosta is the first place I'll stop for gas.
You're right.
Valdosta, now, that's about, I think that's close to 300 miles. A little around 300 miles.
Sounds right.
So obviously you still have a gas-powered vehicle.
Yes,
because
I
if you had an electric vehicle, you would have had to have stopped somewhere around the border and charge up for a few hours.
Yes, I mean, there's only a few places one can stop if you have an electric vehicle.
Yeah, I can't find any of those charging stations yet.
Now, were we going to talk a little bit, speaking of that? Maybe we can reserve it to a later moment.
Yeah, maybe after our guests.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the situation with purchasing electric vehicles. Yeah.
Because the new Ford F-150 Lightning came out.
Oh, good. Let me put Wednesday. A deposit down.
Yeah.
Let me put a quick deposit down.
$100? That's all you need.
Is that all I need? Yep. Good. Except I understand there's a downside, which we will talk about a little bit later. Let's do this. Let us take our first break. And then when we come back, Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation and the Dems' plan to lower gas prices.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. We are going to be planning on talking with Joel Griffith from the Heritage Foundation, if we can reach him. Every once in a while, those problems occur where the guy's not available right away. We called, and we'll find out if he gets our message and gets back to us. In the meantime, there is so much going on, again, on the southern border. That seems like it's always in the news these days, but the state of Texas is now seeking a permanent block for a new Biden administration rule that allows more asylum seekers to avoid deportation down there, according to a lawsuit. The Attorney General for Texas, Ken Paxton, has filed a lawsuit, and it names our friend Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, and Biden as defendants. But by the way, did you see Mayorkas getting roasted by Republicans as he tries to claim that things are actually improving on the southern border? I mean, you can't almost believe what you're hearing. But he likes to say that since the Biden administration took over from the Trump administration, that they're actually improving things. How does he say that with a straight face?
One of the questions of and who is Mayorkas is Homeland Security. The question was asked. There were 40 people on the no-fly list, terrorist list, that showed up at the border, and wanted to know if they were turned away, whether they were incarcerated, or whether they were let through. And he didn't have an answer.
He didn't know
where they were.
And he's the guy that's supposed to be in charge of Homeland Security. You would think he would have an answer to that. I feel sorry for him. I actually feel sorry for the guy. I don't know what he really thinks. I think personally he's not stupid. He sees that it's a complete mess. Our southern border is completely porous. But he's got to defend the indefensible. Well, our buddy Joel Griffith has joined us. And Joel, thank you so much for being with us. Joel is a research fellow in financial regulations at the Great Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with him a little bit about the Democrats' so-called plan to lower gas prices. They say they're going to act soon to lower gas prices. Joel, how soon is that? Do you know?
I don't think they know. You know, the irony, and thanks for having me on the show. I love Freedom Works.
Thank you.
The irony is that in the last few weeks, we actually have seen oil prices come down from about $130 a barrel to about $105. That's about a 20% decline, but it has nothing to do with this Democrat plan that's not put into effect. It has to do with fears that our economy is slowing, because our government has done so much to gum up the system with all the spending and the borrowing and printing. Now we're in an economic slowdown. Our economy actually shrank last quarter for the first time in several years, in large part because of these awful big government policies. And we saw oil prices decline because the expectations are that our economy is slowing and demand for oil might slow. The solution here is not, though, slower growth for lower prices. The solution is not putting us all in green energy vehicles. The solution is to allow us to produce more that we can actually have the quality of life that we've grown accustomed to, and so that families can spend less of a percentage of their income on energy rather than more. That's the solution. But this administration from day one has done everything they can to ensure that longer term, the supplies of natural gas and oil are going to shrink because they have said they want to put these companies out of business.
Yeah, it's absolutely what Biden was saying from the very beginning, that our dependency on oil's got to change. We've got to get into this green energy kind of a city. So he puts himself in a corner. Prices go shooting up like they do. Of course, he's not blaming the lack of production here in the United States, despite the fact that he's crimping supply lines, gas pipelines. He wants to blame Russia because we're shutting back and cutting back on our supply of oil from Russia. Well, if we've got everything going the way we were or could, we don't need any oil from any other country. We can produce our own, correct?
Well, exactly right. And look, you keep hearing President Biden talk about the Putin price hike. Like, number one, what Putin is doing is evil, number one. But that is not the cause of our economic malaise here. From the first day that President Biden was in office in January of 2021, over the next year, gas prices rose by more than 50% in this country. And that was before Putin ever invaded Ukraine. And the reason why those prices were rising was because of the world reaction to all these insane COVID shutdowns and then the reboot. Companies had a very difficult time adjusting to these draconian measures that world governments put in place. And, of course, many of the officials in the Biden administration cheered those shutdowns on. And from day one, the Biden administration made matters worse by ensuring that long-term our supplies are going to be impacted. The first thing Biden did in office was kill the Keystone XL oil pipeline that would have ensured we have hundreds of thousands of barrels a day coming in from Canada, which is an ally. And second of all, if you look at our economy overall in terms of output has recovered to where it was right before the pandemic. But guess what? Our oil production is down around 15%, daily oil production. And that's another big part of the reason why you see the surge in prices is we have oil production down with a Biden regime that is threatening to take these companies out of business. And meanwhile, we have demand that is ramping up because people have freedom again, but also because our government has spent trillions of dollars by having our central bank print new dollars, and that has caused supercharged demand at a time that we're shrinking the oil supply.
Yeah. Yeah, people are spending less all of a sudden because of everything that seems to be going on. You know, they claim, well, we've offered oil companies more gas leases. Well, all you have to do is look behind that headline to see, first of all, offering a gas lease doesn't guarantee you're going to strike oil, as it were. Plus, they put so many restrictions on purchasing the gas leases and going in and drilling or trying to find.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm completely in agreement with you. And on the natural gas issue, we're producing a lot of natural gas. We're actually exporting quite a bit of natural gas as well. But if you look at natural gas prices in this country, there is such a disparity. If you're living in Massachusetts, for instance, a lot of folks in Massachusetts, they got cold winters. They're forced to heating oil, which is dirtier and which is more expensive than natural gas in many parts of the country. But that's because natural gas in New England can cost five times as much as natural gas in other parts of the country. And the reason why that's the case is that you have these left-wing activists, far-left environmentalists, and they have enablers in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. government that have stopped pipelines from being easily built. These pipelines could have already been completed, pipelines that would have transported natural gas from western Pennsylvania, western New York, and West Virginia into the Northeast. And you know, the irony is a lot of those folks that are living in Massachusetts and New York City, they're voting for the politicians that have put in place policies banning pipelines that are causing them to spend five times the amount of energy on energy than friends and neighbors just a few states away.
Yeah. We're talking with Joel Griffith. He's a research fellow and specializing in financial regulations at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the so-called plan by Democrats to lower gas prices. You know, here's the thing. I think the Democrats that are running or are up for re-election in November are going to be the ones, if there's going to be anybody, that is actually going to change and force the hand of the Biden administration on a couple of things. One is the border and the Title 42, and you're seeing that already with a lot of Democratic congressmen saying all of a sudden that they're changing their stripes. Now they think that we got to keep that Title 42. But I would think that they would apply the same pressure to the Biden administration on opening up our drilling situation as they get a little bit closer to November. Do you think I'm being too Pollyannish on that, Joel?
No, I don't think it's being too Pollyannish, and that's because people are feeling the negative ramifications of these policies. They're feeling it every time they go to the grocery store and when they go to the gas pump. You know, it's almost laughable. No, it is laughable, I think. What President Biden did a few weeks ago, he said, oh, we're going to release 180 million barrels of oil from the Strategic National Reserve. And that sounds like such a big number until you think that that's only 9 days' worth of oil. We produce around 15 million barrels of oil a day in this country, and we are draining our strategic reserves that are there for an actual emergency where we can't produce, or God forbid we have some sort of an attack on our country's infrastructure. Well, he went ahead and released 9 days worth of oil and actually thought this would have an impact on price. Prices are actually up since then.
Yeah, for 10 minutes it had an impact.
Yeah, that's about the stretch.
You know what I mean? Now, even Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer know that something has to be done. Apparently, they huddled on Tuesday on ways to bring down the cost of the of gas. That's according to a source with knowledge of the meeting. So even they are talking about it. And that's why I'm thinking that maybe all of a sudden they're going to say, look, I know that we're all about green energy, but we got to save our phony baloney jobs in November here. So let's get on the train to open for more oil drilling. I'm just wondering because I think they got to do something. It's the border and the gas right now, and the food prices. Let's be honest. It's going to bring down the entire almost bring down the entire Democratic Party if they don't do something.
And Paul, let's not forget the other avenue that they're going to do that. They're worried about the green and all that stuff and the planet. Is they're planning on putting 5% more ethanol in the gas, which pollutes the air more.
That's true. Right, Joel? That makes it dirtier.
It does make it dirtier, and it actually is not a cost saving. What it ends up being with this ethanol, for those of us that aren't farmers, including myself, we've got to remember, where does the ethanol come from? Ethanol comes from corn. So in effect, you have our federal government giving their own little favors out to big agra that grows corn, saying, you have to put corn into your fuel tank. Well, what does that do? Now, it actually makes our food costs more expensive. It's not just that we eat corn or that corn goes into our cereal. Corn feeds the beef. Corn feeds the chicken. So that proposal is actually going to add inflationary pressures to other parts of our economy, including at the grocery store. You know, the solution here is actually quite simple. Increase our supply. And we have hundreds of years' worth of oil and gas and coal reserves that the Democrat Party, left-wing politicians, not all Democrats, most Democrats, though, many, and left-wing politicians have said that they want to, over the medium term, bankrupt these companies and put them out of business. And so just giving more drilling permits or exploratory permits to these companies, that's not enough. If you're a company and you know you need to invest billions of dollars to build the pipelines, to build the refineries, to build the infrastructure, well, you got to think that you're going to get a return on that investment over 20 and 30 years. When you have a regime saying, hey, we're going to get some permits for political purposes, but we're going to try to shut you down in 5 years, well, that makes a lot of those exploratory costs and capital investments. It makes it not worthwhile because you end up being afraid that the government is going to shut you down while all that equipment and machinery is still in operation.
Very well said, Joel, and always appreciate you coming on and talking about these things. Let's just pray that maybe they'll get religion on the Democratic side and start opening up for some honestly, more drilling.
Well, they've got religion. It's called the climate change agenda.
Yes. Well, not that religion. Thanks. Thanks so much, Joel. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. Joel Griffith, All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, Elon Musk, you know him. Now he owns Twitter. Does that mean it's going to become a free market conversation piece for everybody? Is Trump going to jump back into the pool? We're going to get some thoughts on that as well as a few other things from the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi.
Only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners. Get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back here on a Friday. It's a glorious day here in Tampa Bay, April the 29th. And so we got this thing going on with Elon Musk. He has broken his silence, by the way, on something. Elon Musk has purchased Twitter. You got to know that that has happened. And he's taking all kinds of slings and arrows since then. He has appeared to have reacted negatively in response to the Biden administration's establishment of what they're calling a disinformation governance board. This has sounds of 1984 and the Nazi Party. They're going to erect a disinformation governance board to combat online disinformation. Online disinformation, right? Just think about that for a second. You want the government deciding what's disinformation and what is not, and banning what they would think is disinformation? Well, believe it or not, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas testified Wednesday that this board had recently been created, kind of coincidentally, maybe, days after Musk purchased Twitter. So we've got, thank God, somebody with some common sense, the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, have you been following this whole thing with Elon Musk and Twitter?
Yes, Paul, I have. Isn't it amazing? All of a sudden there's a disinformation board? How come that wasn't there in 2019, 2020, 2017?
Exactly. I mean, look at Twitter and the way they banned not only what Trump was doing, but anybody that on the conservative side that said something that kind of was against their what is it, that formula that they had, that they that rigged formula?
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, we didn't have two shows this week, and nothing has changed since those two shows. You can shut off the news for a month, and nothing will change except we're deeper in debt. Wasn't there a song about that?
Oh, yeah. It was called 16 Tons, Another Day Older and Deeper in Debt. You mean that one?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the one. I mean, they're trying to silence everything. Their whole what about giving Ukraine $33 billion? What are these other countries doing? I'm curious.
Yeah, in fact, that's very interesting you brought that up. I watch, as I've told you before, in the morning, a program on C-SPAN called Washington Journal, and they'll have a topic. The topic indeed was the amount of money that we are now going to additionally spend on the Ukraine war. And so you could call in, either you were for it or you opposed it. And one of the people said, by the way, as long as you're making this a topic, can you list the other countries and how much they're spending? You know, and I thought that was a good question. Well, we're spending tons more than the one in second place.
You know, Paul, I'll tell you my theory on this one. Biden's giving them and giving them and giving them, and I believe he's giving them so Zelensky don't say nothing. Okay?
I'm thinking you may be right.
All right?
Yeah.
And Putin's making sure that we don't give them any heavy-duty stuff. He says, you know, give us some. You can give them some stuff to make it look like you're helping them out, but you ain't giving them stuff that's going to knock us out, or I'm going to open my mouth.
Yeah, in other words, you're talking about the Hunter Biden situation in the Ukraine and Russia.
Biden's getting it from both sides on how to handle this, and it's not from our side.
Yeah.
China and Russia.
Yeah.
Or the Ukraine and Russia, I'm sorry.
It's a real mess.
Because, you know, do you remember when Zelensky first took over?
The president of the Ukraine.
Right. He wanted him, Trump wanted him to go on with this investigation with Biden, and he says, oh, no. He says, we're forgetting about this. I want to move forward. Okay?
Yeah, Congress wanted to impeach Trump on that phone call.
That's right. Okay? And he says, no, we're going to move forward. He's not going to do nothing. So he's got that hanging over Biden's head. So Biden's paying him off to keep quiet. Okay, and Russia is telling him, listen, you give them anything big, we're going to start squealing on you. So this guy is compromised from both sides. This is going to do nothing but drain our economy.
So let me get this straight, Andrew. You do not think that we should continue to fund anything regarding the Ukraine war? Should we just completely pull away from it?
I want to know what Europe is doing, okay? And at this point, I know there's a lot of innocent people. But you know what? You got Putin, you got Biden, and you got Zelensky, and I believe this is all caused by the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all three in cahoots, and who's suffering? The innocent people. Let's cover up Biden's dirty deeds. I won't say nothing. You keep supplying us in this war. Putin, I'm not going to say nothing. You make sure you don't give them anything big. And we're going to keep this going on until I take over and drain the American economy.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber, Paul, Andrew Cerasi.
Yeah, to me, it's all a disgrace, Paul, of what's going on. And you know, you don't hear anything else. Look at the GDP. Was it 1.4%?
Mm-hmm. Gross domestic product. Yeah, we dropped in our performance as opposed to going up, right?
Right, we've dropped. Our economy is on the downfall, Paul. I mean, look at the inflation rate in the Tampa Bay area, Paul. It's 10%.
You know, I was reading that, you know, normally Florida is a great place to go because it's more cost effective. But all of a sudden, it's becoming a very expensive place to live.
Yes, it is. You know, Paul, when I first moved here 37 years ago, my homeowner's insurance was like $280 a year. I believe my property taxes were like $330 a year.
Wow.
Now look at it.
Oh, I know. No, you're right. And the cost of homes, you know, that used to be a relatively, you could get more for your money, as you know, if you had sold your house, let's say, in New York or New Jersey, and you came down to Florida, and you bought a house, and you go, wow, look at the house I get for the money, you know. But that's not the case anymore, necessarily.
No, those days are over, Paul.
They are.
Now you're going to have high housing and high interest rates. They're up to what, 5.25% already?
Yeah, they are going up again. This is to supposedly stop the recession, which a lot of people are talking about, although Biden got up in front of a microphone and he talked out of both sides of his mouth. He said, I am not worried about a recession. Then he said, well, of course, we always worry about a recession. So which is it, you know?
We are in a recession right now. I believe we're in a recession. Look at the prices of everything. My wife is going to make some little beef cutlets, and I looked at these two little pieces of cutlets. They were $6.
I know. We were talking about that off air, about the cost of meat right now, chicken and beef. It's scary. And, you know, forget about steaks. Can you imagine what a steak would be if you went out?
Oh, it is.
If you go to Publix or one of those mainstream grocery stores, you know what
I mean? I don't mean to change the subject, but
you can't change it. I'm talking about food. No, go ahead.
Another thing, I was watching Trump's rally Saturday night in Ohio, and I could not believe that he endorsed this guy Vance for the Senate.
Oh, J.D. Vance. We've had him on the show years ago, by the way. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, he did nothing but talk dirt about Trump, put him down. He's no good. He's this and that. Now, all of a sudden, Trump says, well, he apologized to me and he saw the light.
Well, you know,
I can't believe Trump trusting somebody like that.
But you know that Donald Trump's ego is such that if you go and kiss his ring, you know this, that he will forgive you generally. But you've got to, because he looks at it as if you have seen the light, that Trump was right to begin with. Now you're kissing his ring. J.D. Vance kissed his ring. Look at Ted Cruz and also our friend here that ran for president here from Florida, Marco Rubio. They kissed his ring too, didn't they?
They must have. But you know, Paul, these are the politicians I believe have got to go.
That seem to be somewhat two-faced.
Now, what was that?
You mean politicians that seem to be somewhat two-faced, like J.D. Vance?
Exactly. Okay. They've got to go, Paul, because they are in it for nothing but the money. They don't give two craps about this country as long as their pockets are being taken care of. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, there's a bunch of Republicans that have got to go. I mean, look at Mitch McConnell give $7 million to Lisa Murkowski's campaign in Alaska. We're trying to get rid of her.
Well, wait a sec. He didn't give $7 million. $7 million from what?
That's right.
From what?
For her campaign.
No. Where did he get $7 million to hand over to Lisa?
Some Republican PAC fund.
He gave it or it was given?
It was given out of this Republican PAC fund that he's in control of, to Lisa McConnell.
Wow. That's kind of surprising.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is going on here?
I want to ask you, Master Barber, about... I was watching Governor Ron DeSantis. He was on Laura Ingraham's program last night on Fox News, and she comes on at 10 o'clock, and they did some sort of a town hall.
Mm.
And all of the people there were very, I thought, very pro Ron DeSantis, and of course, he comes on stage, and I mean, it's like an Elvis Presley concert. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets screaming and yelling, and it was very, very positive for him. But, you know, they talked about all kinds of things, the Walt Disney situation and what's going on with, you know, the battles, I guess you might say, on the border situation and his relationship on again with the Biden administration. But, you know, Ron DeSantis makes a very positive persona, public image, you know. He just, he's doing a great job. Apparently,
he's all common sense, number one, and you know he's all for the people. He's all for protecting the kids. I mean, look at Disney. All of a sudden, I heard on the news this morning they're bringing back their very unscary Halloween with Mickey Mouse, and it's going to be unwoke now.
Good.
No wokeness. They can bring back the Seven Dwarves. You can dress like Pocahontas.
Oh, good.
You can be a dwarf dressed up, and I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I've always wanted to dress like Pocahontas, I'll be honest with you. Well, that's good.
Elizabeth Warren.
She said, that's right. All you have to do is dress like Elizabeth Warren and you look like Pocahontas, now that I think about it.
But it's ridiculous. And you know, the guy is making changes. Look at these math books they tried to push on the kids.
Yeah.
And here you got some teachers union or something now want to sue the governor because they don't have books to use, they're saying now.
That's nonsense.
It's all nonsense, Paul.
No, it's absolute
it's all
nonsense.
Right in front of him. They wanted the proof. He showed them the pages, and that's not enough.
I mean, I'm beginning to think more and more. He's the golden boy of the Republican Party, Ron DeSantis. He seems to know what he is about, you know? You like somebody that seems to know where he's going, what he's about.
He's doing a phenomenal job, Paul.
Yeah.
Like I say, and you know what? He's using all common sense, Paul. I really don't believe he's in it for the money. This guy is trying to, you know, like I said, if you look at his history, look at his education, he could have been $1,000 an hour Harvard attorney. Instead, what's he doing? He's doing a $200,000 a year job as a governor.
Yeah, I think that there's no question about it that his heart is in what he's doing. He might want to have personal plans to become a president or whatever, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But you're right. I don't think he's in it for the coin.
And look at Charlie Crist yesterday. Now, he's trying to put down Ron DeSantis. He's saying, look, at our children don't even have books to go to school with this Nazi. You know?
And that's just terrible.
I'm cracking it because what is he going to run on? He wants mask mandates? Does he want pedophilia?
Well, you were talking about people that are two-faced. This guy is, in the dictionary, you want to look up the word two-faced. I think it's a picture of Charlie Crist right next to it. this guy, let's be honest, he's been a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat. And he has completely changed his philosophy along the way. Completely. He used to be pro-life. Now he's pro-choice.
Now you know what kills me, Paul? Is how do these stupid people listen to him?
Well, I don't think many people are listening. He hasn't had a great track record.
Well, if you look at the poll results so far, you got Ron DeSantis at 51% over Charlie Crist at, I believe, 29%.
I'm surprised he's that close.
Yeah, you've got Nikki Refried Bean, again, Ron at 51%, to her at 24%, mm-hmm. and some woman named Taddeo.
Okay.
I guess she's running. He's at 51%, and I think she's at like 24 or 25%.
Yeah, they're all in the 20s.
How do they even get 20%?
I don't know.
He's so stupid.
I don't know. You're right about that.
But, I really believe the American public in the last couple generations have been stupefied with their education.
You know who was on, and I talked about the fact that I watched C-SPAN, Randy Weingarten. You know who she is?
No.
Randy Weingarten is the head of the national head of the teachers union.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do know.
She might be the most hated woman in America.
Yes.
I think there's a race between her, Hillary, and Kamala Harris as the most hated woman in America. And I shouldn't be sexist about that. But anyway, she was on, and here is somebody, you were talking about education, right? You want to find somebody that has stifled the ability of children to get a good education. I think it's Randy Weingarten and the unions.
Why is she still in her position?
Because she's able to draw a lot of money and salary for the teachers in the union, and therefore they keep reelecting her. That's why. Because she is money. She is money in the bank. She is money in the bank to that union. That's why.
Well, somewhere along the line, I think we need to draw a line about these teachers that we're putting in charge of our kids.
Oh, well, especially the public schools.
I think they should have to go through a vetting system.
Well, in the public, in the private sector, they do go through a vetting system, right? They do. Because if you're not doing your job in a private school, the parents are not going to keep their kids in the classroom. They're going to take them out and move them somewhere else. And that's the greatness about the free market and private schooling. And that's why I've never been a big fan of public schools and unions, when it comes to education, at least.
Yeah, I think they need to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yes, they do.
To begin with. That needs to go.
Absolutely right. I wholeheartedly agree. My friend, it is always a pleasure, and I'm so delighted that we are back together. I'm going to be looking forward to talking with you again this Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. The Master Barber himself. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, our latest edition of Campus Quackery takes us to Evanston and Skokie, Illinois.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza,
just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we're going to talk to you. We're going to take up a situation going on in Skokie, Illinois. An Illinois school district this month is having schools teach about sexual orientation and gender study, including projects and lessons, listen to this, for preschoolers. For preschoolers, these are kids before the first grade. Can you imagine that? This is in Evanston and Skokie. It's a huge school district just north of Chicago. The dedicated curriculum is part of School District 65 and their LGBTQ plus Equity Month. That's what it's all about. It's one of several special units that the school features, along with Latin Heritage Month and Black Lives Matter at School Week of Action. I mean, come on.
Is that where they were telling the that sometimes boys love boys and girls love girls?
To kindergartners.
Yes.
Can you believe it? To kindergartners. These kids are barely out of diapers.
They're not doing that.
It's unbelievable. Listen to this. Throughout the month, educators and pre-K 8th grade students will broaden their understanding of identity, of self and others, allyship, family structures, vocabulary, gender expression, stereotypes, colors on the intersectional pride flag. Hey, by the way, do we have an intersectional pride flag around here? I want to see what it looks like. And the historical contribution of LGBTQ plus people. Each grade level engages in a selection of these topics. Preschool students will learn about the pride flag. Preschool students.
Wow.
And be introduced to vocabulary words including the following: gay, lesbian, non-binary, and queer. The concept of transgender is taught in kindergarten.
I find a kid there. Can you believe it? I'd rip that kid right out there.
So I'm telling you, there'd be skid marks going away from that school. All right. Fair enough. Enough said. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, since I've been gone a couple of shows, is there anything new on the sports front? I saw that, I guess, last night on ESPN, they were doing the
NFL draft.
Did you watch any of that?
I didn't. All the ticket holders, or a lot of ticket holders, went to the stadium last night, the Bucks. And it started, I believe, at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Rock.
And
9 o'clock,
they were
rock.
All in there and drinking the $15 10-ounce beers.
Oh, God.
And all the sushi they can eat and stuff like that,
yeah,
and spending their money.
Yeah.
And then at number 27 at 10:30 last night, the Bucks came up to draft and they said, we're going to trade back and do it tomorrow.
They
traded out of the first round.
They did. Oh, my
They traded
goodness.
With
did they have to give somebody up?
Jacksonville.
Okay.
In other words, Jacksonville
has to give them something.
Yeah. They will get the first pick tonight,
okay,
which is number 33.
So we should get, if we want to find out right away,
at 7 o'clock tonight.
At 7 o'clock, we should tune in ESPN to listen.
At 7 o'clock, yeah.
Okay. I watched, the Lightning. They lost to Columbus last night.
Yeah. Did it really matter?
5-2. It did not matter, but I'm a little bit worried because we're going to be sliding into the hockey playoffs a little bit on our backsides. Yep. I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah, okay? I am too.
All right. Fair enough. All right, it is time for our top 10. And this is a new poll. It comes from affluenttimes.com. And it measures the wealthiest presidents in today's wealth, all right? Not in what they were at the time, because in many cases, if what they were at the time, They were probably more wealthy in certain ways than in today's measurable situation. Anyway, here are the top 10 wealthiest presidents according to today's wealth. Number 10. And this one surprised me. Bill Clinton. I wouldn't have thought of him. But he's worth about $76 million. Says here, after leaving office, he took in big sums writing books, giving talks. And in fact, his memoir in 2004, reportedly, he got $15 million for that.
Well, him and the pantsuit lady combined, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Went on a speaking tour. So.
And the speaking tours and those outrageous sums.
I
some exactly.
Words for her.
Number 9. Herbert Hoover, between 80 and 100 million. Hoover did not even require his salary as president upon taking office. You know, he always gets a bad rap for being blamed for the Depression, and it was not his fault. He decided to give all of his money away to his salary to charitable organizations representing those in need. He actually had been called the great humanitarian. Number 8. Lyndon Johnson was number 8, $110 million. He started to buy up significant expanses of land across Texas. Plus, his wife, Lady Bird, came from a wealthy family, and he and Lady Bird also held ownership of a broadcasting station in Austin, Texas. Number 7, James Madison. He was worth $113 million-plus. He possessed significant land holdings. During his time, he was among the most prominent possessors of land in all of Orange County, Virginia. Number 6, Andrew Jackson. And he was worth $165 million in today's wealth. He amassed a great fortune, aided by a career with the armed forces and by his wife's family. He had holdings, including a large Tennessee estate known as the Hermitage. Number 5, Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, $200 million. He earned a lot of money as a writer. He authored a large number of books, roughly 18 in total, and he was also the owner of a very large estate on Long Island. Number 4, Thomas Jefferson, $230 million. The son of a landowner, much of his own estate was inherited. He owned a massive plantation called Monticello. It covered some 5,000 acres. Number 3, George Washington, $587 million in today's wealth, substantial property magnate, along with having a wealthy spouse. In fact, he got a lot as a president. His wage as president, larger than any received by any succeeding president. Number 2, John Kennedy. Well, Kennedy's clan possessed great wealth coming from their father. He personally received his fair share, plus his wife also came from a moneyed background. All right, who do you think is number 1, Ed, as in terms of today's wealth? Today's wealth is the wealthiest president.
Go to Obama.
Obama, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah. He's worth $3.1 billion approximately, according to Forbes magazine.
Was he worth more before he took the job?
Probably. Yeah. But according to Forbes, $3.1 billion. His real estate holdings in New York alone are worth about $1.5 billion. So there you go. And he didn't take his salary.
Right.
Hey, I got to ask you a question before I forget. Where in New York were you born? What town?
East Meadow.
It's called East Meadow. Yeah. Is it near Nassau Coliseum?
Yes, right down the road.
Okay, I thought that was the case. I wanted to make sure I asked you. All right, my friend, thank you so very much. We will be back on Monday. Please remember, the freedom works.
I got some money in my jeans and I'm really going to spend it right. Well, I've been doing my homework all the week long. And now the house is empty and my folks are gone. Woo, come on everybody.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.